shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of life which has been vindicated in this hour, though it has been turned down repeatedly until it's being narrowed to the place where the ark holding 8 people is once more in view. Very, very small percentage. We don't know if there'll be even as many as 5,000 people standing here, Lord, to be changed into immortality, which we are not concerned about, but we are concerned, Lord, about your presence. That at this point, Elohim himself is here bringing all things under the feet of Jesus, who would, in a future time, will turn all things back to the Father. And we are being readied by God himself and pillar of fire to lead us into the millennium. All these things, Lord, we know by absolute truth and vindication, which passes and surpasses reasoning. And we're glad, Lord, because we could never reason the thing out. We'd only fall back. And in days which have gone by, we'd be even worse shaped than ever. But we're standing on a revelation, Lord, and we're grateful that it has been proven to have come from you. Now help us in our further studies this morning, Lord, as we go into what Brother Branham said concerning the seed of discrepancy. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this will be number 9. Of the seed of discrepancy, when Brother Branham chose this title, wherein he desired to speak of and affirm the reality of existing human, and I have no other choice than to use the word, human entities or persons who are definitely a departure from the original 2 children of God, Adam and Eve. He went to Matthew chapter 13, wherein Jesus himself refers to Adam and Eve and their own progeny and the true descendants as children of God by God's own sowing, and another group who are called the children of the devil, or the seed and sowing of the devil. Now, in there you'll notice that I have interjected Adam and Eve in the parable. And the reason I do that is because Jesus himself, in John chapter 6 and mostly in John chapter 8, and later we'll read in Romans the 9th chapter, that the original sowing of God was Adam and Eve. And they were to multiply, to propagate, and to replenish the earth. And these would be the children of God, which God actually was their sower or their source. And you can find that in Genesis where it says that God breathed into Adam the breath of lives. And you notice that Adam was already a spirit being with Eve, and they were one spirit united together. And then now it's in this one body. And you notice it says that he breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and man became a living soul. So what you're seeing here is actually the propagation of God by God's own soul or God's own life being imparted to Adam in order that the sowing of God, and this very definite because Jesus interpreted the parable, that there are definitely children of God. And they're definitely children of the devil. Now, let's just keep going on. I wanted to let you know, because if you read the 13th chapter, you won't find Adam and Eve there. But the point is, who do you find there if you don't find Adam and Eve? See, you've got to go back to Genesis, where the sowing was. Now, the field wherein both seeds, that's the seed of God and the seed of Satan, are sown in the field of God and God alone. Now notice, it was the field of God. God sowed in it. An enemy came by in the same field. He sowed. Now you've got to just take it as it's written. This field is called by Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, God's husbandry. He said, you are God's husbandry, or you are God's field of planting. So therefore, God has planted. In the time of Paul, he has his very own children. Now, thus it is clearly seen that two different seeds from two different sources, one called God and one called the enemy of God, or the devil, or Satan, or the deceiver, the serpent, call him what you want, have been sown in a common field that belongs to God. And this field has now yielded and continues to yield two species, or two kinds of children from two different sources. That's right. Now, since Jesus explained his parable, there is no longer any problem with the evident truth of where these two seeds actually came from and how they came. Let us face it. Both Adam and Eve were the seed or children of God, and were called seed on the basis of propagation. First of all, propagated from God, and then they're going to propagate. And remember, the life is in the seed. Adam and Eve both had the same life and were of one species and could, in mating, produce nothing but replications or images of their own selves. Yeah. Of the original and God-produced selves. That's all they could produce. Left to them, they would produce themselves exactly, and thereby be producing the children of God, because God breathed into Adam the breath of lives. And so therefore the lives that would come down would be in seed form and would be a portion of the Holy Spirit or the life of God himself. As Brother Branham said, God did not simply breathe a breath. It was the Holy Spirit. Anybody would know that. Unless you want to, you know, fall away from the truth. So Adam and Eve both had the same life and were of one species. Pigs bring forth pigs, dogs bring forth dogs, hens bring forth hens, horses bring forth horses. God will bring forth children of God. But I don't care how he does it. Well, we're told how he does it. And we're into it. So Adam and Eve both had the same life and were of one species, the God species, and could in mating produce nothing but replications or images of their own original and God-produced selves. But the woman does not carry seed, even though she herself is a seed. The woman is a field in which the seed is buried for a period of about 9 months, and then she gives birth to the body that was blueprinted within the seed. Though the seed itself, the covering, want to call it that, is a matter of a substance, but the life inside is a genetic pattern, and the genetic pattern is a God pattern that came from God and is a part of God. That's where you can find that every place in the Bible you read, God has eyes, he has ears, he has a nose, he has arms, he has legs. He's even got stomach that gets upset with. People make him vomit, or just about. He has a heart, he has a soul. My brother Branham said God was the first man. Of course, that's a statement of a intimation. Jesus the second, Adam the third, and we've been on brought on down. As God said in Adam, in Jesus, he said, I've begun my generations in you. That's why Paul said we were all in Christ. And we went into that. Now, Adam was also a field in that he carried seed. But that seed could not bring forth outside the woman. So we get what Paul says about that in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, so that we are on the proper scriptural understanding. And it says in verses 8 to 12, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man." That goes right back to the book of Genesis, perfectly correct. "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." That's where the life was. See? "Now, for this cause ought the woman to have," that's a sign of authority on her head because of the messengers. "Nevertheless," I wish that weren't in there. That's an interpolation which goes into a spiritual understanding of why women cannot cut their hair. So we could read this over again. "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." Now, this is the way God laid it out. The original of God bringing forth his children, he did it in this particular way. All right. Now, in the original plan of God, we find Paul speaking of seed producing or developing into bodies. So, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the resurrection, but don't let that bounce you around. He's absolutely giving you some truth here, regardless of genetic truth. And he says here, in 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 39, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, though thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain." Now that's just that's a way a woman gets pregnant. "The man does not sow in the womb of the woman a body." There's no way. It's an infinitesimal little tiny sperm that you got to put under a high-powered microscope to see. And though the ovum is much bigger, you still have to put it under a microscope also to see it. So what he's telling you here, we just keep reading. Now, "And thou sowest not, and that which thou sowest not a body, that shall be, but a bare grain, a little tiny seed. It may be wheat, it may be oats, it may be rye, who knows? But in there is another plant producing further abundance of seed, which in turn keeps up the production. Now watch. "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same. There's one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds." Now, that's what it tells you about how the seed carries within it the genetic pattern, which under proper conditions, sowing must bring forth what was ordained of God in that spirit to have that particular body. Now, when God did this to Adam and Eve, it was a very special work of his hands, and that cannot be said of any other thing. Everything was simply a word creation. But God did deal with his own children, not just in a sympathetic manner, but now in the paternal manner, even as children are brought forth today by the fact of God ordaining that particular process. Now watch in verse 40 to 49. "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another." In other words, you make a comparison, and you begin to see that always there is that which is always important, because God did not do anything which was not good and important. But you see, there's a gradation of what you might call that which is outstanding or standing out before you, so that you can make an assessment and say, well, this really is more important than this, and that is more important than the other. And now listen, you can't do that. All you know is that there are some things that are startling and stand out, but they are no more important than that which does not stand out and even cannot be seen. See, like your body is made up of multitudes of cells. Every single cell is important. Every one is vital. And if it weren't for the multiplicity of cells, you wouldn't have body, period. And so you're looking at this comparison, and we must be careful in doing it, because as Paul speaks of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, he said, there are those members that do not seem to be important, but believe me, they are important, because God has, in His grace and His own wisdom, given them a comeliness and poured upon them that which makes up to them what seems to be missing as you look at others in the bride of Christ. Like, for instance, you look at Brother Branham, and you say, my, he's with Moses and Paul, and what a great, tremendous man. Yeah, but just look what God said about you. See? You don't have to worry. Now, there's one glory of the sun, another the moon, another the stars. Now, that talks about intensity of illumination, and that's true. And one star differs from another in intensity of illumination, being outstanding. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Now, every single birth is sown in dishonor. In other words, it must die, it must pass away. It's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There's a spiritual body. So it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, what I read this for is to explain to you that only in the resurrection can everything come forth the way God really wants it. Now, to begin with, there was the ability for corruption to set in. But at the end time, corruptibility gives way to incorruptibility, and mortality to immortality, and in the resurrection, and in the processes of recreation, you are going to see the perfection that God wanted to bring forth in His planting, so that even when you talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars, you're talking about a planting, even though they're not animate, because they're going to be dissolved and brought back in a resurrection. You're talking about the human being, which is the most important, the children of God. So, we want you to know here that no matter how people may disregard and attempt to refute the understanding of what Brother Branham is teaching, that there are literally children of God, just like a sex act. Because it comes by a sex act. That's how they're brought into the world. Now, the Pentecostals and the majority of people do not understand sovereignty. That's why I talked to you this morning the way I did. They don't have a clue to sovereignty. Their God is a God of their own imagination. They worship God according to how they want to worship God. They take the Bible and tell you what they make it to say. I don't understand, except it's explained here that that's the way they do it. Because I can read. I have no trouble reading. I don't have a tremendous IQ. I don't need one. I can take a 10-year-old kid and he'll understand. By the grace of God, a 7-year-old will understand. But these theologians don't understand. It's not in them. So the resurrection brings forth the true harvest. It brings forth what was in there originally, which had an interruption. But now through death it will come back and be exactly the way God wants it. Now let's go to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and we begin to see this seed of discrepancy. The seed of the devil. The serpent seed. The seed of the enemy. Alongside the seed or the children of God that God himself planted, putting into a human form. So in Genesis 3, the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now the word subtle there actually comes from a smoothness, and I've often said, you've ever seen a snake with hair on it? I don't think anybody ever did. The serpent. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you know right jolly well that the Bible distinctly said that every tree that came out of the ground in the Garden of Eden was good for food. Now, this tree will kill you, so it never came out of the ground, right? So he's not talking about trees that bear fruit come out of the ground, planted by God and watered by God, and the blossoms come, and the blossoms fall off, and the fruit begins to form. Hogwash. This will kill you. This is where death came from. Now let's find out all about it. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For the Lord doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, that's the truth of the matter right there. If you eat it, your eyes will be open. You know two ways about it. Then you'll die for it. Yep. You'll die for it. Do you think the homosexuals don't have their eyes open? Even if they close their eyes, it wouldn't change the act. So now they got AIDS. Let's keep reading. A woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant in the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, what part of the body does the apron cover? So what kind of a tree did they get involved with that made them know they had sex organs which they should be ashamed of? There's nothing wrong with sex organs, nothing to be ashamed. So therefore they did something with them they shouldn't have done. If you can't see that. All you got to do is watch little kids. They're innocent. They don't have a clue. As the Bible said, be like little children. All things are pure to the pure in heart. And everything God made was good. Suddenly something is not good. So they did something that made them ashamed of the fact that their primary organs of reproduction were visible. And it wasn't nice. Animals don't have any trouble. So, all right, you know jolly well something was done that involved the reproductive organs. Call the tree what you want. Now they know they're naked. Didn't know it before. Now they try to cover up. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called. Now you notice there's not one word about Father. Not one word about Father here. It's Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. I'm not sure at this point that this is, I'm sure it's not Jehovah Elohim. This means, would mean more sovereign. Sovereign God with the involvement of the thought of a magistrate or judge. So the judge comes down. And he's going to look into his people according to his word. Because his word said, don't eat that tree. Now the tree brings death. It never came out of the ground. And there was nothing in the Garden of Eden they could physically eat by ingesting through their lips anything to bring death. So every pointing and every indication is in the realm of the sexual. And the sovereign God called Adam, where art thou? Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, he makes a pretty clean breast of it, you got to admit it. He doesn't just say, I was afraid. He tells why he's afraid. And he tells why he hid himself. And why they made those aprons. So, whether you want to believe it or not, God must have given them explicit instruction concerning sexuality.
Oh, I don't think so.
I know so. Because God can't hold me and you blame for anything unless there's something said concerning it. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman that you gave to me gave me of the tree, and I did eat. We partook of something which does not have to do with ingestion. But it has to do with sex. The Lord said to the woman, Lord God said, what is it you've done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He seduced me. He got me to commit an immoral act. Because that's what the actual Hebrew tells you. And the Jews understood serpent seed. Because they said, we be not born of fornication. If they weren't born of fornication, then they had to be born of God. And Jesus said, you're liars. You're of your father, the devil. So it goes right back to the truth of the matter. It was a sexual sin. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this. Now, he didn't say, did you do this? He knew Adam and Eve weren't lying. They weren't liars. She was plumb, seduced, fooled, and defiled. And then she got Adam to join into the same act. Now, they'd have come to it. We've showed you this from spoken words, original seed, how they would have come to an actual sex act, which why children are born is perfectly legitimate and perfectly good and perfectly righteous. But the tree of life was there. And she could have gone to the tree of life and born Christ. And that's what she should have done. And you know that's true because the promise of God given to mankind is bound up in Jesus and Jesus alone and not Adam. Adam only partakes of what Jesus came, stood for, died for, rose for, procured, and by the power of God is coming to pass and will continue to come to pass until we find this glory that Paul spoke of in the resurrection. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, you got a real enemy. In the true bride of Christ, the church, and the phony balonies. They're enemies. Between thy seed and her seed. And a woman doesn't have seed. She's a seed herself, but she doesn't have seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And everybody knows the fulfillment came in Jesus Christ and Judas. Out of the woman he said, I greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In other words, she'll have children at times she should not be having children. Because thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. He's going to set pretty well the rules. Whether you want the rules or not. Great conception is not necessarily a wonderful thing. Actually, it's part of the servitude that devolves upon Eve and the human race because of it. Now notice in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, and you can't find one place where it says Adam is the father of all living. So this woman has a child that is an absolute bastard. Because the only bastard is that child produced by two married couples who remain married. And yet get together and produce an offspring. People trying to tell me someplace Brother Branham said the serpent didn't have a mate. I got news for you. Find it where he said it. Find where the Bible said it. Everybody had a mate but Adam. So you're going to tell me the serpent didn't have a mate. I'm going to defy you because the serpent is still living today. And the closest we can get to it is the boa constrictor that has remnants of hips and copulates in the upper position the same as men do with women. So here we see the picture of serpent seed. The field is God's field. Eve is God's field. She is Adam's field. But the beast was so close to a human being, he could mingle seed with her, which is his life, with the life that was in the woman. And the life that was in the woman was merely, how would you put it? So you get the picture. The life was merely processes within the tissues in the cells. In other words, her body elements could actually mix with what lay in that seed of the serpent or that sperm therein. So that now you have a human beast creation. And the funny thing is, science is now mulling over whether we should bring a human sperm and an animal egg and create some kind of a subordinate race that are slaves. Already got them. Had them for thousands of years. So much for science, so-called. Now, this is the true historical account of one field or womb bearing two children of two different sources. And at that time, the sperm and ovum of male and female beast could no longer bring forth according to their original pattern, but were given bodies by a displeased God who changed every bone in their bodies. So I can see no hope for any serpent or beast seed in the resurrection according to 1 Corinthians 15, but only the lake of fire, because this body was not what pleased God. And that's one reason you and I are going to have a resurrection and a recreation by it, because every single one of us have got serpent flesh in us. Now let's face it. Most of our lives are dominated by our flesh, whereby we have five controlling senses which go into the error of reasoning. And if then we have within us that which is foreign to us, we now have a combination which could make a man like David, a mighty, marvelous man of God after God's own heart, lust after his neighbor's wife, breaking that commandment, taking her because he's king and committing adultery, breaking another commandment, killing the husband which is breaking another commandment. The Jews are so mixed up today about David, they're trying to make him a sleazeball and disassociate themselves from him. Well, the minute they do, they're gone. Because they've denounced the type of the prophet king. I do not expect from any scripture that I know that the original or distorted beast will be in the resurrection. Maybe there's something there I'm not aware of. Thus we have the true reason for Paul speaking as Paul spoke in Romans 9 and the way Jesus spoke in John chapter 8, which we'll not read because we're going to Romans 9. Now, Paul has already spoken in Romans 8. Beginning at verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's a particular group. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn how? From amongst the dead. Remember, this day have I begotten thee. Starting my generations, this day have I begotten thee from amongst the dead, bringing in the bride. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who dares lay a charge against me, Paul says. In the plain English it says, who dares condemn me to death? God says I'm righteous. How dare the Jews, bunch of profligate Wall Street heathen, and God knows what's over there, because only 144,000 are going to have the breath of life in them. How dare they bring a charge against David? How dare they? Oh, no trouble at all. No trouble. You think after the destruction of Jerusalem, they suddenly were non-serpent seed? Who is he that condemns me to death? Christ died. Yea, rather is risen again, who's at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who's at the right hand of God? Jesus is. And Brother Branham, using the words of Paul, said he makes intercessions at this very minute. So then Florida guy's got him comatosed. Yeah. Yeah. Kids come home and daddy, mom are comatosed. Why, the poor kids would go crazy. And a daddy or mama's asleep and the kids come home and they're so dead tired, they even shake mommy or daddy. They get panic-stricken and mommy daddy doesn't wake up. I know years ago we had our first baby, Carol. One day she decided to sleep. So around 10 o'clock in the morning we got to thinking. Hey, she got sleeping sickness? What's going on here? Jew. Finally, after a while, she woke up. No more sleeping sickness. But she had a scare. Well, we're just talking this language of the Bible. See, you want a comatose mediator, intercessor? You want a Jesus that's fallen asleep praying for you? I understand what people are talking about. Let's go now to the whole truth. He said, now skip the rest of this because he tells you that you're going to have a very rough life, but don't worry, God's going to see you through. I say the truth in Christ, I allow not my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's saying what Moses said. Spirit of God dwelling in him, but of course it could never come to pass. Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption? Oh, my, my. And the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. All Israel's. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. He raised him a bugger beam. Now, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Hey, did somebody wash out the word of God? Hey, has it suddenly lost its power? Can God no longer bring his word to pass? What's going on here? For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because are they the seed of Abraham and Ishmael was. Are they the children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, which was a promised son, under the miraculous condition of a man who could no longer seminate, and if he could, she wasn't any good because she couldn't take it. He was a dry stick and she was no better. Seminally speaking, as the theologian would say, they were dead, dead, dead. How are they going to have a son? How are they going to have a son? Mini resurrection. A mini immortality before the rapture. So God turns her back to such a raving young beauty, a 24-year-old wolf. His eyes got so bugged out you could have knocked him off with a stick. And he wanted this 90-year-old woman. Holy mackerel. Yeah, I understand a 20-year-old boy married a 90-year-old woman. She goes dancing with him, but this is not Abraham and Sarah. Okay, we got our tape turned over. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Uh-huh. Your conception shall be multiplied. You're in trouble now because of this serpent deal you got into. Now they're taking fertility pills and littering like pigs. You talk about gone crazy. My God, just get us out of here. Now don't attempt suicide because you won't need to. You're going to get out of here the right way. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So therefore, there's got to be a promise, and the promise was to Adam. And in through Christ, they would take over the whole world and control everything. Of course, by the Spirit of Almighty God. This is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah, 90 years old, shall have a son. And not only this, but Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Who said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And Israel began bellyaching over there in 400 years before Jesus came, the book of Malachi, and said, wherein hast thou loved us, O God? If you loved us and you were such a loving God, how come this and how come that? He said, just a minute. Just a minute. Esau have I hated. I've loved you. And Brother Brown, remember that sermon he preached there just before he passed off the scene? Things that are to be, how the mother and father make preparation for the baby, and God made preparation for us, and here it is right here in the Scripture. God never made preparation for the devil and his seed. Not in the beginning. He later prepared hell for them. Devil and his angels. Aha! He said, my love is proven by choosing. And the choosing was not a random choosing, because the choosing was in Christ, and every seed of God in Christ came through Adam and Eve. And not one of those are going to perish. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ in identical manner all are made alive. But every man in his own order, there'll be a bride, wise virgin. And there'll be those around her. I don't know that the apostles are part of the virgin. They could be a part in the sense that they're in the company, but they could be greater by far. The prophets, the martyrs, then outside the foolish virgin, bringing their glory into the city. Every one of them. See? So, if God hates Esau, there's no way he could hate him if he was a child of God. There's no way he'd have to redeem him. It says Esau found no place for repentance. He got religious. He cried, he prayed, he did everything, but he couldn't get it off the ground. Couldn't repent. What's the word repent mean? Change your mind. Same old mind he had. That's why Christians become renewed in their mind. They go by revelation. And we've got a vindicator revelation. My God, we should have our minds really renewed. And so we can only think in terms of this message. I'm getting that way. That's why I come up fighting like a bulldozer at times. You wave the wrong flag and there's could be a lot of problems. I don't come back down for anybody. I quote the prophet day and night. So don't tell me I'm off the word. I go right to the word here, just the prophet. When I wrote the Church Age book, one of these Jesus only guys, big mouth guy, knew it all. He got a part of the Church Age book. He said, that's wrong. I said, who said so? Sir, I'm telling you it's wrong. William Branham doesn't preach it. I said, William Branham does preach it. He went to William Branham and found out. He came back and apologized. But then from then on, you should have... Oh, God, the junk he got in then on. Well, I have no time with those guys. No time. What should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll compassionate whom I will compassionate. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and declare that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And it still is. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden it. Ask you a question. Who do you think hardened Cain? How did God do it? Just through him, the Word. Here's the Word, Cain. Oh, man, did he bristle. Then he went to, then here's Abel comes along. Absolutely honored by God. Oh, man, does Cain get mad now. So Cain's hardened again. How'd he get hardened? By a true seed standing with the Word. You weren't listening, were you? You weren't applying it, were you, to this church and people all around you? When are you going to smarten up? I say, I'm getting nasty. And I'm getting mean whipping you. Because are you listening? You stick around me, you'll get hard as the hubs of hell if you don't see truth. You'll make me a liar because I quote Brother Branham making an infallible prophet, the word of God in his mouth, blaspheming the prophet and the word and God himself. Because I quoted him. Well, what about him? Let's be honest. Get with it this morning. What about him? You sitting here playing church, or is this real? You think I don't know those guys out there? The preachers that lead Baal preaching two gods, that got him writing the tape, he said there's two of them. I never said there's two gods. I said there's two persons. The same thing the prophet said. Believe in the female Holy Spirit, this, that, they, and I preach against, and I harden every heart. You think I don't? If I don't, there's something wrong with Lee Bale. You better believe there's something wrong with me. So living epistles read and known of all men. Live, die, sink, or swim. They don't like that. That's one thing they don't like. Where are they going to turn? What's suddenly going to come? If God himself came down, that's the picture of the glory attendant upon Elohim. What more do you want? Well, we better have two gods come down. Let's have God come down, the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, let's invite a third one. And it doesn't seem like they've done too much for the people. We ought to get a few more. Now you say, Brother Bailey, they're getting real sarcastic. Hold it! Solomon! Solomon! Saw the temple filled with the glory of God, and the priests couldn't minister. And he turned to false gods and worshiped. You didn't think I could put you on the spot, did you? Who are you going to call on? Oh, there's voices out there. And the devil's got a lot of power. You see why the Antichrist is going to be received so happily? Because they're going to have to call on something. Well, so much for that. Thou wilt say, who hath... Why doth he yet find fault? Who's resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him, the former, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? To make a Pharaoh or to make a Moses? To make an Esau? To make an Jacob? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and the Greek says they fitted themselves, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared, and the preparing is of God. And the preparing is always of God, and that's why he sent a John the Baptist to get the prepared ready, and that's exactly why William Branham is here like John the Baptist, to get ready a prepared people. In other words, the people were right there, prepared by God for God to receive them.
to give them resurrection, to give them immortality, and they couldn't take it without him sending Elijah.
Oh, I don't need Elijah. I got God. Hallelujah.
Liars.
Oh, Dale, you guys that follow Brother Branham, you just don't see the great God of love that we see. Hogwash. There's right there a picture. Not a God, but this kind of Lord.
Now come and sit down and talk about it. Where's your faith? Is it built on thus saith the Lord vindicated? Or is it just some hogwash? You know there's no Protestants left. They're all Roman Catholics. That's the joke. Now on page 7, Brother Branham speaks of the visible human leadership of the two seeds or races, one of which was Jesus and the other was Judas. Both of these men, repeat, men, actually were incarnated, one by Elohim, the other by Satan. And now at the end time, when Elohim again shall be incarnated in Jesus at the rapture, the devil will incarnate himself in a pope that comes out of America after the bride is gone. I believe that's the pope that's going to do it. According to, as my reading book of Revelation, I couldn't miss that one, but it's going to be a pope anyway. Now, speaking of these end time serpent seed, many of which are very religious, Brother Branham points out that Judas was very religious, even joined with the great Messiah prophet and had a ministry of gifts, yet he himself was not real. He wasn't called, he wasn't foreordained, he wasn't foreknown. Blessed is the man that thou choosest and causest to approach unto thy throne. Doesn't say blessed is the man who makes up his mind to get to God. I know people don't like that. I'm sorry if they don't like it. I'm sorry for it. I never wrote the book. This been vindicated. I'm not talking what Lee Dale thinks. Doesn't matter what I think. In spite of what would appear to make him even like unto Jesus, which was his human figure, he was actually an intelligent beast. Born right in the tribe of Israel. His control was not the Word of God. Jesus' control was. His control was the same word of Genesis 3. Hath God said? Is this the truth? Will this really happen? Hey, can we count on it? Well, it just might not be, so I better try something else. So if I don't have a fistful of goodies in both hands, I've got the other ready to grab if something comes back. Sitting on the fence. Now watch carefully. A reasoning creature, man, the seed of God, can both reason and believe. But always the seed of God, true bride, will reject reason for revelation. The reasoning today is, oh, there's somebody who always has risen up to be Elijah. Oh, yeah, the last big donut maker thought he was Elijah was this guy Dowie up there in Zion City, Illinois, and he had a great ministry, and the people one day came and said, Dr. Dowie, we really believe you're Elijah of the hour that's to come, and he said, I was so angry I could have chased the men out. He said, I did chase them up from my presence, but later on I began to think, really, if they were right. He ended a drunkard. I knew a woman who knew him personally. Yeah. She was from Zion City. He staggered in and out of the pulpit. Yet the same man was put on the spot in Chicago. And there was a great drought. They said, well, if your God's so wonderful and you've got such power, why don't you pray for rain? He said, boys, I'll pray for rain. Come on. He went outside. He lifted his hand toward heaven. The sky was utterly brazen. Within no time, the clouds were rolling in, and the rains came. Oh, brother. A
reasoning creature is man. The seed of God can both reason and believe, but always the seed of God, true bride, will reject reason for revelation. The beast cannot do this. There is no place in him for the true word. Perverted word, yes. Any amount, any time, anywhere, under any condition. No problem. He'll say, oh, it's the truth. Oh, it's the truth. Oh, I believe it cover to cover. Amen. Vindicated prophet's word. Yes, it is true. And I'll tell you what it means. A million miles off. Let's get a consortium. A little bunch of people. Truth, no. He cannot receive a revelation even when it's vindicated. Judas couldn't. And all living Judases in the land today cannot even receive vindication when they see it. They still go off the road. They'll scream vindication, 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 and turn right around and say exactly what Brother Branham did not say. And they'll bring their ladder in, hogwash in, and everything else. They'll put a new patch on an old garment. It won't work. All right, I promised the other day I was going to look into Scripture concerning the serpent seed, that you may get a picture and know exactly, well, we read this other times, what the Bible says about these people, particularly at the end time, because Brother Branham calls this parable of Jesus around 31 or 2 A.D., maybe even 33, I don't know. He said it referred to this hour in which we live. The real fruit of it. So let's hear about these serpent seed people. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it says, and this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now it tells you, Brother Branham brought out, that's the only place in Scripture that says perilous times. They were not perilous in age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're only perilous at the end of age 7. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, and thankful and holy. Now, this the clue is they shall be lovers of themselves. And what is the big word in the world today? You'll never love anybody until first you learn to love yourself. So the big message is charity begins at home. Love thyself. Of course, Plato said know yourself or something like that. At least I think with Plato. If it wasn't who cares, somebody said it. I'd sooner that I put my trust in God knowing me and let him talk to me about myself through his word. Now these are lovers of themselves. Now so therefore, they're covetous. If you love yourself, the Bible tells you, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies because men love their bodies. They pamper their bodies. Now they got lovely colognes out, you splash it on, splash it off. Men can go around smelling like a, well, they're cesspools and they can smell like something that Elizabeth Taylor might like even. Who knows? It says covetous. They want it for themselves. Boasters. Oh, yeah, I hear you. Love yourself. You boast. They're proud. That's it. And blasphemers. If you love yourself, you can't love God very much. Disobedient to parents. Was there ever a time like this? Now, the kids are entitled to be disobedient. The law wants them disobedient. That's the truth. I'm not lying to you. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. What about these rapper songs? Brutality. Read your article today on rape. They're not content with raping, they've got to kill the girl, torture everything else. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise those that are good. And you notice these guys, when they get caught, they all get very religious. I hear Mr. Simpson has gotten born again now, too. And if his wife hadn't murdered him, maybe she'd have got born again, too.
I'm not trying to be mean, facetious, never rotten, but the point is this. I just don't go for all this born again stuff. It's too much like Nicolaitan. You remember the old Nicolaitan theory was? In order to be able to repent of sin, you had to indulge in it. So to know what it was to be forgiven for and understand killing, you killed somebody. Or you raped, or you robbed, you pilfered, did everything else. You ran to excess. It wasn't a matter of hedonism. No, that would be tame alongside of that. Traitors. Ames. 50 men died at least because of betrayal. Yeah. Jeopardize a nation like Mr. Nixon did. He had his little cohorts with him. And a nation of 250 million people stood still while he lied and didn't give two bits for us. Then he's supposed to be some great statesman at the end, get his thing involved with China. Who needs China in their slave labor? Think America's rotten candles just as bad, don't worry. I'm a Canadian by birth. I'm blushing with shame. Well, not really. I got away from it. Having a form of godliness. Traitors have that. Lovers of pleasure more than of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power there. From such turns away. Of this sort of day that creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning and ever evil come to knowledge of truth. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate. There's nothing in them. They're animals. Reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men. What's going to happen? They're going to get killed at this particular time. They're going to die. But he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecution, affliction, which came in Antioch, and so on and so on. But he said, the evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now watch, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned. Paul says, I'm a vindicated prophet. I proved it by thus saith the Lord. I am giving you God's word, word by word. Stand with it. So these people are here right today. And I'm going to tell you, stand with William Branham, the only vindicated person there is. And don't listen to your stupid father, because he could be stupid. I'm not saying he is, but he could be. And then pretty soon you'll get to talking about all these black holes out there and everything nobody knows anything about. How do you know there's black holes out there? Hebrews 6. Here's the Judas gang. Here's the Pentecostals, especially the anointed ones of the end time. Listen to what happens at the time of the great hour of perfection, which perfection could not come. But now to what it says at the end time. For it's impossible. Perfection couldn't come, but when it does come, you're going to lay aside the Logos of Christ. You already know the foundation. You know the reality, the life and death of Jesus Christ. These things are there. But there's certain things you do not know. There's a time of conclusion when perfection comes, when it's face to face, and there it was face to face. Now remember, when he was face to face with God, we were face to face with God, because we said back in Israel, Moses, go to God. Come back from God. And that's God to us. William Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Oh, that'll shake your timbers. Oh, he's in two gods and he's an idolater. Oh, he's deity. Well, bully for an evil. I figure I'm right on time with God's timetable and everything I believe. I got to believe it. Live, die, sink, or swim. I'm not changing anything I'm teaching. Forget it. God didn't permit them to go on to perfection. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, tasting the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they can never repent. That's the end time. Say, Brother Bill, how do you know it's the end time? Because it says there are briars to be burned. And only at the end time, according to Matthew 13, do the briars get burned. So here at the end time, you're going to have all these Pentecostals, all the charismatic Catholics and the Anglicans and the whole bunch of them who talk in tongues and lay hands upon the sick and see all these gifts and everything else. The church completely out of order when they're doing it. Now, there's nothing wrong with everything Paul spoke of. They got a psalm, they got a tongue, they got this, they got that, but they had it out of order. And they had nothing but chaos. You got them. They'll stand and say, bless God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they don't go back to Genesis 19, 18 rather. They don't go back where the prophet of God took them, a vindicated man. And so they cannot believe. Now you see, you and I got a blank on our minds though. We always went to Mark 16. Why, He's the same yesterday, the day, and forever. He heals the sick, He does this, He does that, and hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, you're wrong. That can be a secondary or a tertiary or a fourth or God knows, tenth meaning. I'm not going to say what it is. But the vindicated prophet said the same yesterday, today, and forever was Abraham outside the tent with Elohim. And the bride, literally backslidden, giving up. Said, ha, 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 ha. Me have a baby? By Abraham? In other words, discerning. According to Hebrews 4 and 12. The last sign to the church. It doesn't do with Jesus and His earthly ministry. It does with Elohim, whose name also is Jesus. Because Jesus said, I came in My Father's name. And Jesus means Joshua, Jehovah, Savior. So here it is, at the very end time. What about 2 Peter? What has Peter got to tell us about the end time? Same thing the other said. And that's the second chapter. But as there were false prophets among the people, even there'll be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now at this end time here, since Brother Branham went off the scene, the other guys have gone off too. Where are the Osbournes? Where are these big shots that were out there years ago? They're gone. Where's the great ministries? Well, you got Benny Hinn who blows on people and they fall over. Devil's operating. He said, well, do you believe the devil heals? No, the devil is not healing. God is healing. And the people are coming to God believing it's God. And old Benny had nine gods for a while there, but they cut him down to three again. I guess they found that nine was no better than three. I got news for you. My one God is better than three. Because that's all there is anyway. I'm not Solomon to figure out that I'm going to worship something else down the road. Forget it. Forget it. Hell's too close and heaven too close. You know hell has moved up from beneath and heaven is moving down and we're caught in between. I don't want the rug pulled on me. By the grace of God, the corner I turned with William Branham was upward. From the horizontal to the vertical. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of false teachers, it says here. Boy, are they false and running around the world. They can't even believe what the prophet said. And they deny the Lord that bought them. They deny the Lord. They deny that God came down here. Ask these guys down in Tennessee. Who came down? They say the Lamb came down. The Lamb came down? Where is He? I want to see some nail prints. I'm not being facetious. I'm just telling you the truth. Because that's what happens to Israel. Shows them His hands. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Bloodless. By reason, they got pernicious anemia. by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbers not. And if God spared not the angels and cast them down and so on. Now it says, now I'm going to read this to you. Here it says. It says, but these people at the end time, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. There's another picture of Pharaoh. Why didn't Moses come back and say, oh God, save Pharaoh. Everybody's going to be happy. A lovely kingdom on earth. Moses came down for one reason, to get rid of Pharaoh and get rid of him good. I was amazed at women, especially women. They're the suckers. Praying for Stalin. You talk about wasted prayers. The same women accosted me, and I said, well, how come you women went to the mission field? Well, the men didn't go. I said, find me scripture that gave you permission. My Bible says, pray that the Lord of the harvest send out the harvesters. Why did you not pray that God send the men he's supposed to send? The woman looked at me. She didn't have one word to say. You women, listen. Your hearts are nice. We love you for your tender spirit, but you're a mark, easy mark. Don't get suckered by the devil. When it comes to being women, you be like Abigail, the wife of Nabal. David sent emissaries and said to Nabal, look, we took care of you and your men. Nobody took one sheep. We didn't take one sheep. We'd like a little help. Give us a few sheep to eat and a few things because you prospered because of us. And he said, I never hired you. Nuts to you. Won't give you nothing. David got mad. He was going to kill the whole bunch and take the farm over. Abigail comes out. And she said, his name is Fool and he is a fool. Deal with me. I like women that know where they stand. If you're married to a fool, stick with him because you're stuck with him. But don't be a fool like he is and vice versa. It's too late in the day. Remember, judgment comes one at a time. Although it does fall on the earth at one time, that people go through the judgment one at a time. They're cursed children, eyes full of adultery. Cannot cease from sin, unstable in soul. See, they got unstable, beguiled souls. They got souls, but they're not legitimate souls. They're not the gene of God. They're gene of a serpent. They're gene of a beast. Soul equates to life. Whose life have you got? Which have gone astray from the right way. Falling the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved money, was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the prophet's madness, and the guy kept right on. Wells without water, clouds with it by, carried by a tempest. All they've got is great swelling words, vain. They live in error, and all they do is corrupt you just like they corrupt themselves. For a while they may lead you astray, and you say, oh, I got a nice sweet life now, I'm doing good, I'm doing fine, and this is the... But you go back to your vomit. The book of Jude. We'll get to reading Brother Bam a little later on. Not this morning. The book of Jude said, likewise, these are filthy dreamers who defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of the dignities. Verse 10, but speak evil of those things which they know not, but which they know naturally as brute beasts. See, they cannot get a revelation. They can't do it. The Word of God escapes them. I don't care if they got a theological degree, they're a doctor, PhD, an LLD, Doctor of Divine Letters. I don't care what they are. There is no way they can understand this Bible unless God Almighty reveals it by His own Spirit, God Himself doing it. As brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves, warned of them, they've gone the way of Cain. They're liars and murderers. Greedy with the error of Balaam. And they run around prophesying and speaking in tongues. Like Cordae and Abiram. And defy the prophetic word of God that's been proven. There's spots in your feast of love. They feast with you. Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds without water. Carried about a wind. Trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice picked up, plucked up by the roots. But I'm going to tell you what. This is all to those people out there. But to the bride, it says, there is a prophet with a fivefold ministry. And at the end of the time, there'll be no more bride or any true child of God swung this way or swung that by any wind of doctrine. But they'll grow right up into the headship, which headship is here now, and we're just waiting for the people to come out of the ground, the bride to be changed, the trumpet to take us up, and the Spirit, which is God Himself, incarnate Himself into Jesus at the great waiting supper. And from that time on, it's all in the hands of God. And what about Romans 1? The homosexuals. And they're ordaining homosexual men and women as priests and ministers. I knew 30 years ago, roughly, there's a bunch of homosexual preachers, Pentecostal, down there around Hamilton. I never knew them personally, but I was told there was. This kid told me he knew about them. Maybe he lied to me. I kind of doubt it, because knowing what I know now, I wouldn't trust anybody anything. I don't want to believe a lie about anybody, but I'm going to tell you. Usually the lies are more correct than anything else that we're told. What about the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and verses 11 to 18, that tells you they're going to worship the beast? Why? Because they're beasts themselves. What about 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter? They turned down the word of God, so therefore they believed the lie. And what is the lie? The same as the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die. Millions now living will never die. Everybody says it. That's out there in their so-called Christian denomination. How come they're saying that that's a lie? Millions now living are going to die. Billions are going to die. Anywhere from 500 to 5,000 could make the rapture standing here. Who knows? I'm talking of the living. I don't know. See, this is what Brother Branham was talking about, the seed of discrepancy. In other words, there came on the earth, in short order, that which was subhuman, having mixed the animal with the human. And thereby there is a discrepancy, which is there is a difference. And finally, when they totally interbred, you couldn't tell Jesus from Judas. And yet Jesus came from a created sperm and egg. And you couldn't tell Judas from Peter by the way they acted with gifts and everything else. Until one day the showdown came, and Judas couldn't believe vindication. Couldn't believe it. He couldn't do it. Israel couldn't believe their prophet, and now the Gentiles can't believe theirs, William Branham. Well, it's time to go. Lunch is out there somewhere, getting ready. Let's rise and be dismissed. Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we have here. And we did go into Scripture, reading a lot of Scripture, which is very, very wonderful, and yet not reading as much as we could have read. But knowing, Lord, that absolutely in this one lump upon earth here, we know that you have done exactly according to your word and has been vindicated by the prophet. And by your grace, Lord, we believe that we are part of the genuine seed of yourself, Lord, and we know, Lord, that we within the flesh we're not up to much. But we do know, Lord, you've made a promise that you're going to take that life which is of yours, your own life, incarcerated as it were in this pest house, and then raise it to a place of glorification. And then we're going to be happy and satisfied in the beautiful millennium wherein we are there, working and toiling and doing the things we're supposed to be doing, and temple worship and all these things are so wonderful that there won't be a betrayal there. There won't be a beautiful kingdom like Solomon had, only to go into idolatry, fornication, just messed up like crazy. But Lord, it's going to be a start over, as it were, from the interruption, and then we'll be progressing on to his further sanctification and the wonderment of it, Lord. And that's what we really hunger for, Lord, in our hearts. We all just are so far short of that great sanctification that is by the Spirit of God through the living Word, where we're really one in spirit and in life and in action. Or as Paul said
If you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in the Spirit. Father, we recognize our shortness, Lord. But this morning we're not going to look at that. We're not going to be as those who turn on your word and what you said, but we're going to stand with your word. And no matter what happens, Father, no matter what obtains, that doesn't do anything to the reality of the vindication on which we claim to stand at this moment. Now, Lord, help us to really stand on what has been vindicated, and may it be our true knowledge, our true revelation, our true source of the conduit of the Holy Spirit, and we, therefore, sanctified and truly set apart, grow right up to the head, which soon is going to incarnate himself, and we're all there in the flesh the way it is supposed to be. And so we commend ourselves this morning, ask you to bless each one, keep each one, Lord, traveling mercies, all those things involved in there. And again, Father, as the prophet said, to take this message for a healing, we've done it certainly for our souls. We believe, Lord, tremendous soul healing and a tremendous mind healing, if we only receive it, going right into our bodies in a healing which is for this hour, Lord. We know you haven't taken one thing from us. You've only magnified it. So now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.